Today, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in a case testing the constitutionality of an English-only provision adopted by referendum in Arizona. But as NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, the justices seem to have no interest in the merits of the English-only debate.
The English-only measure was approved by Arizona voters in 1988. The provision amended the state constitution to bar state employees from using any language other than English in their official duties. A state employee named Kelly Iniguez soon challenged the provision in court.
It just made sense that if I was going to communicate with somebody who could only speak Spanish, I should do so. I had the capability to do so. It didn't cost the state any more for me to do my job in Spanish or in English, so I did it.
Iniguez claimed that the English-only amendment violated her right of free speech, and two lower courts agreed, striking down the law as unconstitutional. When the state decided not to appeal, the group that sponsored the referendum, Arizonans for Official English, stepped in. But today their lawyer, Barnaby Zoll, found himself unable to make his case for official English. Before Zoll had even opened his mouth, Chief Justice William Rehnquist warned the attorney that the court wanted to hear a, quote, full discussion on the questions of standing, mootness, and justiciability. The translation of that bit of legalism is that the court had questions about whether this case should even be in court anymore at all. First of all, two governors, one Democrat and one Republican, had declined to appeal the lower court's rulings that the English-only provision was unconstitutional. And secondly, Kelly Iniguez no longer works for the state. So who were the adversaries in this lawsuit and what kind of a stake in it did they have? Representing Americans for Official English, lawyer Zoll tried in his opening remarks to steer the discussion back to the merits of the Official English provision, arguing that the state has the right to determine how and what its employees communicate. But the justices were having none of it. Every single question they posed, and there were many, was about procedural questions. Justice O'Connor, you represent the organization that put this on the ballot, but once it's adopted by the voters, how does that organization have standing to litigate in federal court? Justice Kennedy, you're just like any other citizen. Answer, but we are the proponents of the measure. Justice Scalia, would a senator who sponsored a bill have standing to challenge a court's interpretation of a bill? Answer, not a single senator, but Congress could. Justice Kennedy, but Congress is a branch of government. Americans for Official English is not. And so it went, with Justice Stevens asking at one point, what should we do with this case? And Justice Scalia replying ruefully, print it in a casebook. When all was said and done, it was clear the only question that remained to be resolved was whether the court should vacate or void just the appeals court ruling, or whether it should void the trial court ruling as well. The importance of that could be that if the trial court ruling stands, there would still be in existence a court decision holding the state's English-only provision unconstitutional. Just how important that holding would be is debatable, or as Justice Ginsburg put it today, it's the subject for a law review article. What is perhaps most interesting about today's oral argument is the Supreme Court's clear consensus that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, based in California, has gone way out on a limb. The High Court seemed perfectly willing today to chop that limb off, and it's not likely to be the only time this term. Of the 70 cases already accepted for review, 25, more than a third, are from the Ninth Circuit. The highest number from any other circuit is 6. And of the 25 Ninth Circuit cases, 4 were written by liberal Judge Stephen Reinhardt, including the English-only case. I'm Nina Totenberg in Washington.